So if you've found your place, look up Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And once you've found your place there, if you're able to stand, we'll stand for the one last time before we get into the sermon. Psalm 138. And we're going to read the whole chapter of 138. It's not a long chapter. And beginning from verse 1 of Psalm 138, I'll read through to 8. The Bible mentions, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the days when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when thou hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands. Let's pray. Father, we in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this portion of Scripture, this song sung, this psalm sung by David. We thank you so much for the testimony of the work of the Word of God in the heart of this man and others that we see. Truly, we can sing and we can praise with him and say, Holy is your name. Oh, Lord, praise you for your loving kindness and for thy truth. We can say, you have magnified your word above your name, or your name. For thy word is settled in heaven, and earth, heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall not pass away. We thank you, dear God, that your word is eternal. It's effectual. It's powerful. Thank you, dear God, that from these pages we know the way. We can learn and receive comfort, instruction, correction. We're so thankful, Father, for all your word, every bit of it, from beginning to end, altogether lovely. We thank you, Father, for the promises that you give to us, every single one of us. Lord, we ask and pray that you'll continue to work your word in our hearts this morning for all of us, not only in this year, 2015, but many more years to come. Father, we ask and pray, Lord, that you'll continue to have your will and way. Father, help us and help us with our minds and hearts this morning to be attentive to the Word of God. Help me, Lord, to be able to deliver your Word, your way, and be truthful to the text. Father, I pray that you would enable us all, Father, to be edified, challenged, and comforted, bringing glory to your name in all that we do for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We all live our lives each day making decisions, some good decisions, some sad decisions, some bad decisions, and some decisions that oftentimes we perhaps look back and would regret and say, I wish I hadn't made that decision. And some decisions that would say, well, thank God for that decision and thank God for working in my life in that way. We all make decisions from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, some decisions being concrete, some that we commit to but we fall back on. Nevertheless, we see David make a decision here to praise God. Can you see in first place David's decision to praise God? He says, I will. It's a personal decision that he's made. He says, I will praise thee. And it's no doubt for every single one of us, in order for us to follow God, praise God, worship God, it must be a conscious decision. It's not something that I simply, walk through the walks of life and it just kind of happens. I must make conscious decisions every day, even as a Christian, to say, I will. There are many I wills in the Bible that God will have us to do. And there are many things in the Bible that God says, I will not have you to do. And we see people, and we see testimonies of godly men and godly women stand up and say, I will not eat that meat that will defile me. Or I will not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, one of the gods of the day. So you remember that time? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We will not. And so there are many decisions that people would make. And there will be will not decisions. But here David says, I will praise God. I will worship God. It's a personal decision. And every single one of us must make personal, conscious decisions that are committed throughout the year of worshiping or praising God. Some would be long lasting. Some will be so big that would change our direction of our lives completely. You know, and I know that there are things in our lives that need a committed decision. In other words, they need a time out. Lord, I've done this too long. I've been here too long. I need out. And so therefore, it takes a pouring out, if you would, and saying, Lord, I lift up my heart and I want to praise you. See, some of them need to be purposeful and committed. And if you don't make those kind of decisions, they won't be long lasting. You know, we say, oh, well, we want to do this, and New Year's resolution, we want to do that. And for how long? After the month is finished, 2 months, and then we fall back on those things. Some of them are good decisions, healthy decisions. We say, well, we're going to be committed this year to eat healthy. Or we're going to be committed this year to do some exercise, and we're going to be committed this year to read through the Bible in 1 year. By the way, I've made up something that is in a devotional format to peer through the Bible in 1 year. And if you don't want to peer through the Bible in 1 year, you can peer through the Old Testament in 1 year or the New Testament. But alongside of those things, you can have the Psalm and Proverbs with also there for you to glean and lean from as you read the historical books or the letters written to the church or what have you. Many a times there are peering through the Bible planners, and they're wonderful. But when they go through Genesis to Revelation, I need a bit of that wisdom with it, or I need a bit of that psalm with it. And you can still go and do those planners as well. You can go through the Bible with those planners that start from Genesis to Revelation and include a chapter of Proverb a day, a psalm a day. But, I've put this together because I know, knowing me, if you don't have a goal, you won't hit it. Or you don't have a target, you won't hit it. This helps me be disciplined and committed to saying, yes, Lord, I want to go through the Bible twice a year, or I want to go through the Testament 4 times a year, or what have you. I need some sort of commitment that I want to commit to. And so he makes a personal decision. He says, I will praise thee. And remember that time where Moses, he came down after receiving the law of God, the holy commandments, moral law of God, and he sees the children of Israel worshipping a golden calf. Remember that time? And he comes down and he sees the vile, the sin, the defilement in worshipping other gods. And Moses even says to them, he says in Exodus 32:26, who is on the Lord's side? And it's a question mark, and for us to say, well, which side do you want to be on? And through and through, year after year, that question is imposed to us, even as believers. And whose side do we want to be on? The world side or God's side? Because you know that the friend of the world is the enemy of God. And we know that there's a pull, and we'll be just simply we'll be simply people without discretion not to realize that the world power is getting stronger. Back then, they only had a little golden calf or whatever. We have a lot of golden calves today.
That's right.
Many, many, many. And they're not usually made out of stone or gold, just different things. But you might hear it this year or the year after. Whose side do you want to be on? You want to be on God's side, or do you want to be on the world's side? Or even Elijah said to the people of Israel in 1 Kings 18:29, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be double-minded about this? He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. And if it be Baal, then follow him. Just hurry up and make a decision. You know, you're either on one place or you're on the other place. And God always tries to help us get out of the middle place. Remember what he said to the church of Revelation? I wish you were hot or cold. I don't want you in that middle place. And God help me and God help us as a church. Never reach to a place of comfort and saying, well, I'm okay. No. Daily decisions, committed decisions, decisions that are followed through, decisions that would say, I will not defile myself, and I will, yes, Lord, I will, as you prompt me by your word and your Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a double-minded. You know the word of God. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in some of his ways, all his ways. And if we're double-minded about who we're going to follow and what our guide is, then we're going to be double-minded in every area of our lives and every decisions that we make. And if we're one-minded about the Word of God and who we stand with and who we follow and who we worship, everything else will follow through. I said, everything else will just follow through. But if we're just double-minded about this book, we're in trouble. If we're double-minded about whether this contains the Word of God or is the Word of God, and we're double-minded about that, man, we need to settle it once and for all. It's the perfect Word of God. We can't be double-minded about that. We're in trouble. We can't be double-minded about who we serve and who we follow. And notice also, Joshua continues to go on to say in verse 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And by the way, that leads us to our next point. In serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. God has a way in which he desires every single one of us to serve him. And also needs a good motive. But also needs to be grounded in his truth. Psalm 138 verse 2, notice David's direction of his worship. He says, I will worship toward the holy temple. Can I just say this, folks? We have a holy God. Amen. You can't take away his loving kindness and his truth from his holiness. If you want to look at God, you must see him as he is, the Holy Spirit of God. We must see Jesus that is full of love, the image of God. And we must see the God the Father who is full of all truth and there's no lie in him. We can't separate the loving kindness and the truth of God from his holiness. We serve a holy God who is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. While society tries to conform God to the world, Bible-believing Christians need to stand up and say, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I want to be conformed to Christ as it is in heaven. Amen. We live in a society where they try to dumb down God, dumb down his character and who he is, his holiness. Can I just say, he is nothing like us. God is nothing like us. God is nothing like this world. God is holy. And the more we know him, the more we see him for who he is, the more we know his word, the more we saturate ourselves in his characteristics and who he is, the more we'll learn about who he is, growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we know about God, we will tend to be conformed to him. Our minds will be simply in line with his mind. And what the world is trying to do is trying to redefine God. And we ought not to be part of that world system that's trying to redefine marriage, redefine God, redefine church. We have the Word of God here that does not need to be redefined. Amen. Just needs to be lived. And we live in a society that's always trying to conform God to a worldly way. And God help us say in our prayer, God, you are holy. Hallowed be thy name. Holy, 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 three times so it could be just simply embedded in the hearts of the angels and even in our hearts. Lord God Almighty, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a challenge, hard challenge. But by grace, by God's grace and God's powerful word, we can. And God wants to enable us to be able to worship a God that is holy and conform to his ways. And we see also, thirdly, David's desire for his worship. He says in verse 2, "For what? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth." David's desire for his worship was, number one, God's loving kindness. I mean, God, you got to understand, and if you've experienced or tasted that the Lord is good, you got to understand that he is good, and he is loving, and he is merciful. In Psalm 119 and verse 156 says, "Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments." And God's tender mercies are great. It's unbelievable. They're the very mercies and loving kindness that should draw tears that hang off your eyes and drip to the ground and saying, "God, you're too great. You're too wonderful. Look how many times I fall and yet you put me up again. Look how many times I mess up and stuff up. Look how many times I use that tongue wrongfully and you're there even to forgive me every time when I come. Oh, Lord, how great you are. Your mercies are new every morning. Please help me, dear God. Help me not to take your grace and mercies for granted." We have a merciful God, a loving kind, a God that is loving toward us. And we also have a God that wants to work on us and in us and never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and 159, "Consider how I love thy precepts and quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." If God ever does a work in us and through us, it's not because we're something good, but because God's good. It's Amen. God's grace. It's God's loving kindness that he shows toward us, that he works on us and in us and never leaves us. And he always chastens us and wants to instruct us and correct us. And by the way, the Bible says that if anyone is without the chastening of the Lord, ye are illegitimate child, or you're a bastard. For everyone whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even a son to whom he scourgeth. Every single person that is under the hand of God, or saved if you would, is under the hand of God and is experiencing the hand of God in a very loving way. Let me just say, to be disciplined from God is something good. It's not bad. It's good. And the more you're disciplined from God, the more you realize how God, goodness and loving kindness he is to us. I mean, if we're left alone, honestly, and we're cruising, if you would, in this world and smooth sailing in our Christian life, thinking that we don't need any more correction and we don't need any more instruction from God, then we don't need God's heavy hand upon us when we sin, then there's something wrong. That's not love. It's love when we have a God that simply want us to lead us in the right direction. Amen. Cares for us. "Don't touch that, son. No, don't go there. Don't do that." And we have God's, working in us and on us is amazing. It's his loving kindness toward us. And then God's answers prayer. You know, do you ever wonder why God wants to answer our prayers? I mean, who are we? God, we can come to God and we can lift up prayers to him. And if you're like me, sometimes I'm very shameful of the fact that I don't lift enough prayers to God and talk to God. And yet God's office is always open. God's door is always open for us if we come in the right manner and come with all humility. God's, man, I tell you, he's never too busy for us. And God doesn't slumber or sleep. And oftentimes we don't go to him like we should. He says, "I'm still here and I'm waiting for you." And sometimes he knocks and says, "Where are you? Come and talk to me." Man, that's love.
Amen.
You know, we don't have a guy who says, "I'm done away with you. You slipped for a week. You didn't even talk to me for the whole week." Yet that guy says, "No, look, listen. Hey, I want to come in." And you know, the holiday season does that. Does it do it for you? Sometimes it does it for me. Things are just out of whack. Things are not like, you know, and if you've done a good run this year, this end of the year and going through the new year, and you've had a good time with the Lord and you've prayed up and like you should, praise God for you. But I just need to be renewed in that again and say, God's is open to me this year. Lord, oh, forgive me for my apathy. Forgive me from talking on the phone for 2 hours with a friend and talking with that person for 2 hours and coming out at night and being too tired to talk to you. Man, God is too good to us. He says, hey, I want to talk to you. Hear my voice. He says, Psalm 119, 149, the psalmist says, notice this. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Do you understand what the psalmist is saying, Lord? Because if it wasn't for your love, I'd be finished. Hear my voice according to your grace and your love. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 63, verse 3, that God's loving kindness is better than life. It says, his loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Absolutely. You come to the point of your life, and we need to come to the point of our lives this year, years to follow, and say, God, your love is too much, better than this life. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000, dear God. Can you understand the psalmist when he's come to that realization, that he's realized that a day in thy courts is better than 1,000? Days outside of God's presence and in his word and talking to God. One day with you, Lord, is better than 1,000 days without you out there in the world. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. That's God's loving kindness is better than life. And then he thanks him and praises him for his truth. In Psalm 119, 160, he says, thy word is truth from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever. Now, I'm not going to touch too much on this, as I preached a few weeks ago on what is truth. If you get, and I labored a little bit in that. We just still touched on it. But he thanks him for his word, for its truth, all the way from the beginning, and his righteous judgments. But now notice David's declaration to his worship. In verse 2 he says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all his name. Above all his name. We learn from David singing this song that God would lift up, if you would, elevate, extol, and bring up as importance his word above his all of his name. You say, why does God magnify his name? Well, God's faithfulness to his word reflects on his character and name. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. God staying true to his word reflects his integrity. God is a God of his word. What God says will go and will come to pass. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. And so therefore, if he didn't, then his name will be tainted, if you would. But God's kept every word. And God will keep every word. And every word will come to pass. Everything that God declares will happen. And God can be trusted. He's a God of his word. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath God, hath he said it, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? Absolutely. God is not a God that he should lie, say one thing and do another. God keeps his word. He's not like a man that breaks his promises. No way in the world. God magnify. You and I, our names have been tainted. We don't keep promises. We do say lies. And thank God for his redemption. And I was saying to someone not long ago, I said, the only difference between me and you is I'm a saved liar. Because I said to him that God's not going to let any liar enter into heaven. But the difference is I'm a saved liar. God saved me, and I don't want to walk in the ways of lies. I want to walk in the way of truth now. And I thank God for his truth in our lives. But he magnifies his word above his name. And if God elevates his word, magnifies, makes it great, then we should too, as his people. We should magnify and hold his word great in our lives. Amen. And I want to give you a few things. I did touch on it on New Year's Eve, but I just want to touch on these things again. And hopefully on the weeks to come, I want to elaborate on each perhaps in a very detailed way. But I want to use the word magnify, the acrostic, if you would. And how we can magnify the Word of God in our lives. Number one, meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Look, there's probably about four ways in which we can approach the Bible. One of the ways is we can hear the Bible, like you are hearing it now, or you're driving and you put a sermon on or something, or you can just hear the audio sermon. We can hear the Bible, okay? That's one way we can approach the Word of God. A second way we can approach the Word of God is when we read through the Bible. Third way is when we study the Bible. But there's nothing like meditating on the Word of God. There's nothing like pondering upon, if you would, and getting deep into the things in which God is trying to convey to us. Memorizing Scripture, hiding the Word of God in our hearts, meditating. The psalmist said in 119:97, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation." How often? All the day. All the day. And so how's your thought life been? What have you been thinking on? And many a times we have stress, worry, despair, anxiety. We think about this, think about that, think about what's taking place. When God says, "I just want you to meditate upon my word." Now, the Word of God brings comfort. I can't hang around here too long, else we'll never finish. But let me just say that, you know, David would have been simply a man that would have been on the back end of God's faithfulness. Why? Because he would have meditated on the Word of God, and every single promise for him he could claim. And when I meditate on those promises that God has given to me, they bring about comfort. They're tremendous. Meditation on the Word of God will help me not sin against God. Remember the Holy Spirit? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen? But we can please God. And the psalmist said that thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not what? Sin against thee. I know the Word of God, and it's going to help me stay away from some things. And second of all, the Bible says that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the psalmist cries out, be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, dear God, is my thinking pattern right? What I'm thinking on, is it right? And you will not go wrong if you're always thinking on the Word of God. Sure. You won't go wrong. Memorizing Scripture, talking about the Bible, and for the psalmist, it was all day, thinking on God's goodness, thinking on God's loving kindness, thinking about His truths, and thinking about how I can handle a situation from His Word for this or for that. It's wonderful to meditate upon, to chew on, to think about. It's also good to resist the devil's temptation, isn't it? You know, let me just say that the devil does not want you to press forward or look upward to Jesus Christ this year.
Right.
Or next year, for that matter. The devil doesn't want you to be simply a person that would guide your family, lead your family. He doesn't want you to be someone that would be in church, be in the Word of God. The devil doesn't want you to be under the Word of God. He doesn't want you to be anywhere around the book.
It's true.
He wants to distract you from it.
Right.
And if he can keep you away from the Word of God, keep you busy with other things, watching this, reading that. Oof. The devil doesn't want you to press forward. You know, the only way we're going to press forward and magnify the Word of God in our lives is when we meditate on this book. We make this esteemed higher than what? Our necessary food. God help us. Oh, God help us. And that brings us to the next point. Appreciate the Word of God. But before you can appreciate the Word of God, you need to be in the Word of God. You need to meditate on the Word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 164, how many times does he praise the Lord? Seven times. Seven times a day, he says, I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. This is a good challenge, amen. I mean, we thank God for our food three times a day, amen. Some eat maybe four, five, little meals every 3 hours. And I've been told about that's probably a good way to eat. Little meals every 3 hours works your metabolism. And there it is there, seven times. And let's praise him for his word. There's one thing to always praise him for his blessings. But what about praising for his word? Your word is true. Your promises are sure. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for challenging me through your word today. Just thanking the Lord for his righteous judgment. Appreciate the word of God. We normally take God and his word for granted, don't we? We do. We do. We've got probably three Bibles at home, one on the computer, one there, one here. And in some places, they've only got a page of the Bible sitting somewhere, gathered around in a circle, all wanting to read it. Maybe in a prison cell somewhere. I'm not just saying this as in a... This is true stuff. I wish I could have it. I wish I remembered it. A little clip. I don't know if it was in Korea or China. But they had a box of Bibles. And they opened up the box. And I don't think the people knew what were in the box. And he started handing out these Bibles. And they came like seagulls. And swarmed the Bibles. And they grabbed the Bible. I know we ought not to worship the pages here, but they were grabbing it and just looking at that little clip, do I reverence the word of God? Do I appreciate the word of God like that in my life? Many a times it's taken for granted, but seven times we need to say, God, not only thank you for my food and thank you for what you've done in blessing us as a family and thank God for his blessing, but thank you for your word and thank you at this time we're still able to have your word in our hands and with liberty. One day perhaps that liberty will be taken away from us. And then thirdly, grow by the word of God. By the way, let me just share this one. In Psalm 119, 144, the Bible says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. It's a comfort to us. We ought to appreciate the word of God. Amen. And he says in Psalm 119, 161, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Oh, man. And the Satan can come and he can throw those darts and he can get persecution from there. But at the end of the day, the word of God prevails. At the end of the day, the word of God is magnified. Every word is truth. You ever want comfort? You go to the word of God and you'll stand in awe.
Amen.
You're just a few psalms away from seeing what God is able to do. Grow by the word of God. Psalm 119, 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Wow, there's a desire for the word of God. A desire to grow. A desire to grow in grace. A desire to grow by the word and in the word and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire, before you can grow, you need to desire the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And you say, how do I renew that desire? Many times we read the book and we're dry or we're just too busy and we forget about some things about God. But how do I renew that desire? Then we need just to go back and realize verse 3. He says, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's why it's important to go back and meditate on who God is, meditate on his loving kindness and meditate on his truth. And then you go over here and appreciate him, and then you get a desire for the word again, to grow and to thirst after, to pant after. And you see who God is and you see what God has done in your life and what he's able to do, and he renews that if you have tasted that the Lord is good or gracious. And by the way, if you haven't, he is.
Amen.
He's gracious. He's wonderful. 1 Peter 3 says, if you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Magnify the word of God in our lives means that we grow by his word into Christ's likeness. And then number 4, navigate from the word of God. In Psalm 119, 105, the Bible says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. Amen?
Yeah.
From day to day, month to month, year to year, we're in this book. This book is our guidance. It helps us make godly decisions. God-honoring decisions from day to day. Decisions also that impact our eternity. It's a light and a lamp. Anyone here ever used the street directory back in the old days? Street directory? What about maps? Google Maps? Navigator, GPS Navigator. Hands up. Hands up. This is our soul directory.
Amen.
You know, the street directory maps tell us where we are when we're lost, doesn't it? Oh, here we are. Man, they're so sufficient now with the technology. It's amazing. They say how to get there, how long it would take. I mean, this is, we're talking just about physical things, earthly things. This is our soul directory. This is eternal life directory. It shows us when we're lost, where we are with God and where we can be. It shows us our direction, how we can get there. Thomas said, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. It shows us the way to eternity. It shows us the way to get rid of this old man and get rid of the things that are pertaining to death and to renew us and guide us into godliness, into the light, and lead us into things that will just simply honor God and make right decisions. It's wonderful. It's a map. It's a compass. Our navigation for our soul. It's wonderful. And we ought to be simply in the Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and 130, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The truth of the matter is, this book is purposeful. It gives us purpose. How many of us have been asked when we're driving, do you know where you're going? How many is it? Do you know where you're going? And you just don't really want to admit it. You're on the verge of lying, but you're keeping it cool and you look like you know where you're going, but you don't. You ever done that? So I think it's just a pride thing. Yeah, I know where I'm going. We don't want to look like we know where we're going in life spiritually. We don't. We've got to make sure we're in the light of God's Word that gives us understanding of who He is, what He desires, everything about godliness and faithfulness to Him. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. What a start. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Lord, I don't want to just pretend. I want to know. I don't want to think I've got it all together. Lord, I want to have it together by your grace. Help me to navigate. Help me to know that I'm going in the right direction. And then leads us to the next point. Invite the Word of God. Look, you can't go wrong when you say, God, search this heart, not that heart. No. Search this heart. You can't go wrong. From day to day, and you die, and you say, Lord, search this heart. Try this thought. My thoughts. That's what David said. And the psalmist said, order my steps in thy word. And then he goes on to say, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. You've heard the common proverb, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. I tell you, if we say, Lord, scrutinize me, see if there's any secret fault, see if there's any pride, we ought to always come before the Lord, personally before God, maybe at the closing of the day or the beginning of the day, and say, Lord, is there any pride in me today? Pride's a killer. Especially when we think we've got an okay walk with God. When you look at the psalm, they always wanted and panted after more of God. They were never okay. And that's one thing that we need to say, Lord, I want to be content, but not in this. You see Paul's heart, and it was quoted through the testimony. I count all things but dung. Why? Because I want to win you. I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to share in your sufferings. And it's a daily battle. Does that mean we're grumpy Christians? Absolutely not. We can still live a joyful life and a Christian life. But man, when God scrutinizes, it's hard when God shows us our faults, isn't it?
Yeah.
And He points them out. It's hard. It's painful. But thank God, we need to invite the Word of God in our hearts and try, as the psalmist said in 119 and 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. Wow. Nothing. Thank God. There's one thing that you ought never to be offended with, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't get offended with the Word of God. To magnify the Word of God in our lives means we invite God to work in our lives through His Word. God's Word is sharp. but it's comforting at the same time. And to be left to our own devices, if you would, and decisions and wisdom, the destruction of that is harder. Why? Because the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. It's hard. But God, help me. I invite you in my life to scrutinize me. Me. Help me. And then be faithful to be under the word of God. Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. In season, out of season. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I didn't feel like going to church. Yeah. But when I got up, because I know that I needed to be under the word.
That's right.
And I went. I thank God that I went.
Amen.
I thank God that I went. There are times that I don't feel like applying some of the principles there in the word of God regarding my spouse. But I thank God I did, because I knew it was right. Does that mean I don't change my attitude in the way I do it? Absolutely. But it's a start to be able to obey the word of God and knowing it's the right thing to do and not be extra stubborn. Amen. Be found under the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And if we are going to be in our, if we're not going to be in our place, we'll be susceptible to the enemy. I mean, if we're not under the word and in the word of God, we'll just be susceptible to the enemy. We'd be simply extra influenced by worldly things, extra influenced by others that are not in the way of the word. If we're not simply in the word of God and under the word of God and challenged by the word of God every day, we'd be missing out on God's reminders and God's warning and God's wisdom. We'd be missing out on those things. Can you imagine what Martha missed? When she wasn't there, sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said, Mary has chosen that what? Needful thing. You can run around, serve this person, and you can run around and be a soul winner there. All these things are good. But listen, if we're not under the word of God and we're not in the word of God, we could just simply fizzle out. If we're not close to God, our service therefore will be frustrated and our outreach will be just simply not as effective in God's strength. We're not drawing out from God's wisdom and being under the word and being in our place. The bird that wandereth from her nest is more susceptible for the enemy to come and tempt that person. To magnify the word of God in our lives means we are to be faithful under and in the word of God. And then lastly, we need to yield to the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 60, I love this psalm. Look what he says. I made haste. Man, there was one thing that he was hasty of, and it was a good thing. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. I made haste and I delayed not. Look at the best thing that you can ever do is when you hear the word of God, obey it. If you hear God drawing you and say, Charlie, change that. That needs to be changed. Do it.
Yeah, it's good preaching.
God shows you something from his word. God highlights something extra more than other things in your life. It's called conviction from the Holy Spirit. Say, yes, Lord. Yield to the voice of God through his word that he uses the Holy Spirit to help us. And listen, to trust and obey is no other way to be happy in Jesus. And I'm talking about when you go through the trials of life and you're down and out and things take place and there's if you would, storms that are just raging in your life. And you continue to yield to the word of God and commit yourself to the word of God and doing what God wants you to do and knowing what is right. Man, God can still give you that joy, that inner peace. Inner peace. James 1 verse 22 to 25, if you want to turn there. James 1, 22 to 25. Notice what the Bible says there. We're getting almost to the end. This is something that you probably don't already know, amen? You already know this, and it's just kind of a refresh and helping us to bring those things up in our lives again so we don't let them slip, amen? Important things regarding to the Word of God. But notice in James 1, 22 to 25, the Bible mentions, be ye what? Doers of the Word, and not what? And what happens if you're just a hearer? You deceive your own selves. And Jesus says in one of the parables that you'll build your life on the sand. And you're foolish if you just hear and walk away and do nothing. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, amen. I'll say more about this when we touch on it a little more. And continueth therein, he being not a what? Forgetful hearer, by the way, when you meditate in the word, on the word and you appreciate it, that's easy to not forget it. But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. True blessings come when you yield and submit yourselves to the word of God. You don't just hear it, but you act upon what you hear. You do it. True blessings. True wisdom. I mean, it's a blessing to be a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. It's a blessing to be blood bought. It's a blessing to know that your name is written in heaven. But let me tell you something. It's a greater blessing when you're an obedient Christian and you obey. It's a greater blessing. Someone said, not just sitting on your blessed hope, but allowing God to work in your life and yielding to his word and God working in you and through you. Mary was blessed. And there are a lot of people that knew that she was blessed in God's plan and will to be able to be simply giving birth to God in the flesh. They knew that. Blessed art thou amongst women. In Luke 11, 27, it came to pass as he spoke these things that a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But notice what he said. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. You can be a Christian. You can be in God's divine plan. But if you don't keep the word of God, it's useless. Blessed is who? Blessed are you who hear the word and you do it and you keep it. That's the one that's blessed. Notice in closing David's disposition for his praise. Notice going back to Psalm 138 and verse 1. Notice his disposition. Notice he says here, I will praise thee with what? My whole heart. I mean, if we're going to praise God with our whole heart, then we must have the attitude of saying, Lord, I want to obey you with my whole heart. I don't just want to praise you for your loving kindness and for your truth that you lift above your name. I just don't want to sing about that, but I want to live that with my whole heart. You can't be half-hearted about the word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 10, the Bible says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Can't be half-hearted. Jesus said, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Amen.
And he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I'm just simply saying to you this morning, make the word of God your treasure. Make it all you want, lift it above everything, high, lift it up above all, above all, with your whole heart. It's God that's given us all things, family, friends, church, blessings, Lift his word. It's through his word that we were created. Without his word, there would be nothing. You and me wouldn't even exist. It's because of his word that we are here. It's because of his word. Lift it up. Search the word and lift it up and seek God with your whole heart. Everything that is in you, let him be supreme. His word, him, everything above all. Let him be your treasure. If someone were to look for your heart, where would it be? Where would it be? What's gripped your heart? I know what's gripped my heart. I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. And help me 2015 to simply have that to be my treasure. And onward and onward. And I know that I'll fail at times, but thank God you're there to pick me up and help me to think my ways and consider my ways. Amen? Thank God for that. His disposition was his whole heart. He sought the Lord, but second of all, unashamed. Notice what he says there. I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods, little g, while I sing praises. You know, this society wants to tell us to tone it down. We need to keep it to ourselves. But God says, write it on the doorpost of your heart. Go out and proclaim it there from the rooftop. What Jesus was telling his disciples is, don't be ashamed of me or my word. The other day I was in a petrol station. And look, for majority of the time, it's my attire now. It's just, I just love wearing the John 3:16 with the verse. I love it. And the lady just said to me in the petrol station, never had it in 12 years or 11 since I started making them and wearing them just so I'd reach people, you know. Never had this before. She came up to me. She goes, why are you wearing that? No, it was more stronger. Why would you wear something like that? And I thank God. I thank God that I didn't say something back. I was pondering through my heart and I thought, I should have said to her, why are you wearing that? But I thank God I didn't. I thank God that he helped me just to shh. And I just said, is that good or bad? She said, what do you think? I said, good. And she said, well, it's made me laugh or smile. I said, that's good. And I just walked away. I'm not ashamed of his word.
Amen.
That formed the world. I'm not ashamed of his word. That's what Paul said, that is able to save to the uttermost. It's the dynamite, Paul the Apostle said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. He says, I'm not ashamed of the powerful word of God that is able to save a sin-sick soul from hell. I'm not ashamed of that.
Amen.
It's good news.
That's right.
Good news. And I praise you, Lord, for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your word that you lift above your name. And your promises are truth for whosoever. Amen? John 3. Whosoever will come.
Yeah.
Whosoever will come and believeth on me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jim Berg said, no one is ever apathetic, but always passionate about something.
Yeah.
They're passionate about their little g gods. I'm not telling you to go and be rude and crude and mean. No, I'm not telling you to do that at all. On the contrary, just be like Christ. Shine, be a salt, be a light. And don't put that lamp under the bed or in a corner or under a bushel. Just let it shine. Don't be ashamed. Lord, if you magnify your word above your name, help me to do the same. Help me not worry about my reputation, but worry about your glorification. I just hope and pray that that could be our prayer. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, while I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Why? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Oh, dear God, help me to do the same. Amen. Let's pray.